Welcome back to the Coffee Hour, the inaugural Coffee Hour.
Woo-hoo.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm awake now.
We didn't introduce you yet. Be quiet.
Sorry. We're having too much fun in this studio today. Peter Slayton. I almost said the Peter Slayton.
We can give you a the.
There might be another one of me out there. I don't know. I'm sorry, world, if there is.
Peter Slayton, social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of Loving Your Internet Neighbor in the Lutheran Witness January 2018 issue. And I didn't know I had a neighbor on the internet. Did you?
You do.
I do, but I have to deal with them. That's why you put me in charge of the Facebook page. Now I understand.
Yep.
And because you're a millennial.
Well, that too. That helps. That helps a lot. It's like in my blood or something. I don't know.
You live on the internet, so you must have internet neighbors. I mean, that's how it works, right?
I guess. Well, you're the expert.
You're the social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and also a regular guest on Concord Matters a couple of times a month as well.
Yeah. Good times.
Your voice is here on KFUO frequently. So I have to ask the question, because you present this in your article, the term neighbor. How has social media shaped the definition of neighbor,
yeah,
as we understand it now?
You often hear people talking about how technology has made the world smaller and brought people together in ways that, you know, was never possible before. And what I've noticed, or what I talk about in the article, is how social media itself, the internet in particular, brings you into contact with people that you would perhaps never have encountered in your entire life. Even if you're a lifetime traveler, where all you do is travel all around the world. And so while scripture is clear that everyone is our neighbor, you're not always going to encounter everyone. Until now. you kind of do encounter everyone now. And so I think we've kind of lost, maybe never had sight of it, but lost sight of this idea that all these people that I'm encountering on the internet are my neighbor. And scripture clearly talks about how we are to treat our neighbors and care for them. And let's work a little bit at applying that online.
That's a lot of people.
It is. I'm not friends with all of them, though, so I don't actually encounter all of them, but the potential, man.
So social media, digital technology in general, has, in a sense, increased our awareness of our neighbor to some degree?
Definitely. I think you can definitely say we know more about what's going on in the world than any previous generation. Well, or we think we do. Maybe that's a better way to put it. There's a lot of perspectives out there that we think make us very, very informed. But no, the reality is we do have a lot more information at our fingertips that, you know, people before us just simply didn't have. So, yeah.
So when we have these conversations with all of these people, it's always fun to be right. But
winning.
Yeah, hashtag winning. What is winning on social media? And is it really that important?
I sure hope it's not. But it ends up being very important. And I also want to clarify, it's not just social media, but social media is where this really becomes clear. Most of us, and I will include myself in this, because everything I'm writing about, I am equally at fault for not doing if it's something I should be doing. I even have an example from yesterday where I failed to do exactly what I'm telling people to do in my article. It's like, oh. So the whole winning thing, we want to be right. Human beings, that's what we do. We want to be right. We want to justify ourselves. And in social media, the way communication works there, this desire to be right, this desire to win an argument, this desire to justify ourselves in that particular medium actually ends up coming across even more aggressively than when we're face to face with somebody having an argument where we want to be right.
some of us have just a strong drive to be right, and the internet only amplifies that.
Yeah, you've lost your filter of that face-to-face interaction with an individual where when I'm speaking to you face-to-face and you could potentially punch me in my face, I'm going to be very careful what I say. Mm-hmm. Well, now there's a computer screen between us, possibly thousands of miles between us. You will never, ever have access to me as an individual. I kind of lose my filter a little bit if I'm not careful.
A wise mm-hmm. teacher friend calls that keyboard courage.
The keyboard, yes.
Keyboard warriors.
Where you get your keyboard warriors, your keyboard courage, all of that, yeah.
We're willing to say, for some reason, we're willing to say things on the internet, on social media, that we wouldn't say face-to-face because they're not appropriate to say face-to-face.
And Google makes it a lot, it adds another dimension because you can probably find an article that backs up whatever you're saying, even if what you're saying isn't true.
Yeah.
So you can just throw articles in people's faces and be like, see, I'm right.
Yeah, totally.
So you can amend your article now. You're welcome.
Let me add a few links to my article that prove that I am right in what I'm saying.
Yeah. You can prove yourself.
Well, that's a good point, though. Like, even my own article just attempts to justify itself and myself as being right in this. And so I will always fall victim to my own, you know, guidelines, if I can say that.
I feel like we just entered a postmodern realm.
Oh, no, we've been postmodern for a while. Sarah, where have you been? It's all about context.
Yeah. Exactly.
So some tips for loving your internet neighbor.
Yeah. I think the first step is entering into a discussion, trying to understand the individual. So let me talk about how I failed at this yesterday as a good example.
Let me use my failure as an example.
Learn, children.
You know, I manage a Facebook group and we're in a discussion and there was an article that was posted that contained some stuff that's like, okay, that's just really bad. That's heresy. That's whatever. And the point the individual was trying to make was apparently separate from the main point of the video. But I didn't bother to ask questions to find out, what are you actually trying to say with this? What's the actual point you're trying to make? I just instantly went to, oh, that's heresy. And then it turns out in further conversation, you know, outside of the public eye of the group, the individual said, well, okay, here's the point I was making. I was like, okay, I didn't see that at all. And that's my fault for not asking you what you were actually trying to say and having that dialogue with you to understand, to get to the point where it's like, oh, that's what they're saying. Because it turns out we actually agreed. Like, the point that was attempting to be made, I was like, no, that's actually right. And I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I thought you were making this point over here because I basically read that one sentence, focused in on it and said, that's heresy. I'm going to deal with that. And didn't read a lot of the other stuff that was surrounding it and in other sub-threads that gave a little more context to what was going on. And so, you know, if we jump straight to my third point, be ready to apologize. I did that. It's like, ah, I screwed up. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And now we seem to have maybe at least on our even ground now.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can't relate to that at all. I never jumped to conclusions.
Or ever apologized.
Oh, boy.
No, that really hits home, whether it's on the internet or other conversations outside of social media. That old Adam in me just really wants to jump right to conclusions when I hear something that isn't right.
Yeah, I
want to make it right.
I hear a statement without really looking at the context around that statement. I bring my own assumptions to what I think they mean based on my own context and how I've experienced that statement elsewhere. I then draw conclusions and begin typing a long diatribe against that statement based on my assumptions and the conclusions I've drawn from other experience. I mean, look how far I've gone down this path, assuming I know what this person is talking about, without ever actually talking to the person or with them. And yeah, we do this all the time. I think one of the things I mentioned in my article is that this is like basic treating humans as humans in real life.
Wait, there's a human on the other side? Is that what you're saying?
Well, sometimes. Oh, every once in a while it's actually a bot. But yeah.
I think that's the actual point, is that we forget that's a human, that's a real person on the other side.
They are your neighbor, even if it's over the internet.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
But don't you think that's part of the issue, is when we're on social media or anything digital that we forget that there is a person on the other end. We yeah. forget that it's a real human being. Somehow we've dehumanized them.
We've dehumanized them, or we've disconnected ourselves from any sort of actual relationship to where we care. Because I think a lot of us would say, well, yeah, no, I totally know that's another human being on the other side. We've just disconnected in some way that what we're saying actually impacts them as a human being emotionally, and it has an effect. So if you hang around me, because of one of my other friends, I will frequently say the internet isn't real. But it does have real life implications and real life impact. As fake or not real as it is, it really matters to me and it really impacts me. And I think we forget that, especially if you tend to be in like just straight up debate mode where you're like, well, we're just debating. This isn't actually a thing. Well, a lot of us tend to place our identity in our doctrinal position or our statements that we're making. And so when you think you're simply attacking the statement, I feel like you're attacking me. And we haven't taken the time to actually dialogue and talk with each other about it.
So as you would in any other conversation, confess, ask for forgiveness.
Listen, listen, listen.
Peter Slayton, he is the social media manager for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks so much, Peter, for coming in today and being on the inaugural Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.